God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
At Christmas time, we sing, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards man." Shouldn't that be what we always pray? We read in Psalm 122, verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." To address that, here now is Pastor Larry with Jonathan Burness.
Thank you, Matthew, and a warm welcome to all of our listening audience. We're going to focus on one of the critically important parts of the globe in history, in current events, and in Bible prophecy. You can't get a topic more critical in terms of God's program, past, present, and future. And we're going to be talking about the biblical world, the Middle East. I'm holding in my hands a new book titled A Lasting Peace, A Historical, Biblical, and Prophetic Lens on the Crisis in the Middle East. The author, Jonathan Burness, is on the phone with me. He is a Messianic rabbi and has traveled worldwide. He has also served in St. Petersburg, Russia. He's been on our program before. It's always a delight to interview him. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for being with us.
Larry, thank you for having me back. It's a real joy.
Well, there are so many things we could talk about, so I'm just going to jump in because your book is quite comprehensive. So let's go back to the years after the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. Do we have evidence that the Jewish people continued to live in Palestine after the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70?
Absolutely. There are clear historical records of a Jewish presence in what became known as Palestine from the Second Temple period after the return from the Babylonian captivity. Although we don't know what happened to the 10 tribes in the north, we know that the two southern tribes, although experiencing exile in Babylon for 70 years and the what we call the diaspora, the dispersion in 70 AD, remained a community. Although somewhat remote, we have clear records that there has always been a Jewish presence in what is today Israel and what was then known as Palestine.
I know when I first picked up your book, I was flipping through it, and that's one of the things that caught my eye, because that's often a stumbling point. And I'm looking at page 32, go back to 1438, a rabbi from Italy was chosen as spiritual leader of the Jewish community in Jerusalem, and you've got several other incidents. You know, that's why I love your book, because I think it clears up a lot of the misconceptions that has, I think, fueled anti-Semitism, for one thing, and led even a lot of Christians perhaps to embrace replacement theology. And I think, you know, a good dose of the truth always helps matters. And so, like I say, that's the first thing I notice in your book, and I think that's so important.
Well, thank you, Larry. There's so many misconceptions and so much propaganda surrounding what is today known as Israel and the Jewish people in general, that I really wanted to write something that was simple and as truthful and accurate as possible.
Well, Jonathan, that relates to another issue when we speak of misconceptions. As a little boy, I was raised in an Italian ghetto in New York City. And, of course, we were nominal Roman Catholics. And one of the things that people were saying in our little ghetto was that the Jewish people killed Christ. In fact, in Italian slang, it's mazzagrista. And I know that's certainly, you know, it's not the whole story. Who really put Jesus Christ on the cross?
Well, that is a fantastic and really, really important question. The biblical answer is all of us. In the same way that the Passover Exodus talks about all of the people of Israel killing the lamb, Jesus came to lay down his life as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he's very clear that he is laying down his life for his friends. That he's, as Isaiah 53 says, led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. This was God fulfilling his plan, which existed before the foundation of the world, to redeem mankind. And so we took his life. He laid it down for us to pay the price for our sin. And that is so clear throughout Scripture, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. And the idea that the Jews killed Jesus has sadly led to a 2,000-year legacy of hatred in the name of Christ and Christianity. And we now have to overcome that in order to reach the Jewish people and provoke them to jealousy.
Right. Amen. And I'm looking at Acts 4:27, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate." And I spoke, I said, well, wasn't Pontius Pilate an Italian? He was from the ghetto. "With the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." So really, it was the predetermined counsel of the Heavenly Father to put forth his Son as a propitiatory sacrifice for the sins of the world. And my, to blame it on one group of people. Hey, the Romans are in there, the Gentiles are in there, Pontius Pilate and Herod, we're all guilty, and our sins have put Jesus on Calvary's cross. So, wow, that's another misconception, and I think that's so wonderful.
Larry, I couldn't have said it any better. Perfectly stated.
Well, Jonathan, the charge is often made that there is no peace in the Middle East because of Israel. I mean, Israel gets blamed for everything, including all the conflict in the Middle East. So, you know, we're led to believe that the Arabic people, the Muslim people, would live in peace if Israel were not in the Middle East. In other words, if there was no Jewish nation, no Zionism, there would be peace, prosperity, and everybody would be singing Kumbaya. Now, is that true or is it not true?
It couldn't be further from the truth, in fact, Larry. Let me just give one example. The whole idea of land for peace, that if Israel will just give back land, there'll be peace. Gaza is a perfect example. Gaza was given over to the Palestinians, and it was thought that there would be a peaceful coexistence, when in fact Gaza has become a missile-launching silo against Israel, and Israel is being bombarded daily with rockets that are being launched from land that was given back. The whole land for peace idea, the idea that if Israel didn't exist, there would be peace, is absolutely false. Look at 9/11. We have a growing jihadist community that is committed to the destruction of the infidel, and we're the infidel. As Benjamin Netanyahu has said, it may be the Shabbat keepers or the Saturday keepers first, but eventually it will move to the Sunday keepers. So we're all in this together, I'm afraid.
Well, you have an excellent section that deals with that. You give, you know, the Muslims fighting with the Muslims, the civil war in Algeria beginning. It claimed an estimated 200,000 lives. Civil war begins in Yemen. Civil war breaks out in Syria, on and on and on. So if there were no Jew in the Middle East, or if there was no Israeli state or nation, they would be fighting with each other anyhow. And I think that's a... you just murder several myths, and I thank God for that, because the truth is so precious, and we do have fake news today, to say the least. Unfortunately, a lot of things are trumped up just to make President Trump look bad, and the truth is so wonderful. So why are the Jews hated?
Well, thank you for asking, because that's kind of the root of most of my writing now. Why is there anti-Semitism? Where does it come from? Most of the books that I've read on anti-Semitism, and by the way, let me just inject this, Pastor Larry, that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. You can't separate the two. That's a fallacy, and I go into that in the book. Anti-Zionism is, in fact, the new wave of anti-Semitism, and we have to be aware of that. But the root of anti-Semitism is spiritual. Again, most of the books that I've read on anti-Semitism say that it's an illogical, irrational hatred of the Jewish people because they're not looking at the spiritual root. When you look at the spiritual root and you see that there is a literal enemy of God, Satan, the devil, who is committed to the destruction of God, the overthrow of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, who is committed to thwarting the plan of God, and he knows the plan of God, who understands that from Genesis 3:15, he's under a death sentence from the fall, when the serpent was judged and told that the seed of the woman would crush his head. He has been committed to keeping that from happening. He's lied to himself. He's deceived himself as the father of all lies. And I believe the root of anti-Semitism is the knowledge that the enemy of God has, Satan has, that the seed that was promised in Genesis 3:15 will come through the children of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, what I call the seed promise. And the simple logic, which I believe is strategic, it's calculated, it's very logical, is if you destroy the children of Abraham, you keep the seed promise from being fulfilled. We, of course, have the defeat of Satan openly at Calvary, but there's a continuation to that, and that's the return of Jesus to complete the work of redemption, and that requires the restoration of Israel, the restoration of Jerusalem, and the return of the Jewish people back to their land and back to their God. If you keep that from happening, then you keep the redemption of mankind from coming to completion and the rule of the Messiah, and you do that, I believe, logically, by destroying the seed, the children of the seed, the children of Abraham. I believe that's the root of anti-Semitism. Again, it's calculated, it's logical, it's strategic, and Satan has worked overtime to destroy the Jewish people. The good news, Larry, is that he has failed because God has declared in his word that he would preserve the Jewish people.
Right. Well, friends, we're speaking with Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, and he is the author of a new book, A Lasting Peace. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You know, Jonathan, several years ago, I remember the president of Pakistan, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I believe that was his name. But, you know, he said something that is so contrary to what you just said a moment ago. He said, "Oh, we love the Jews, but we hate Zionism." Well, you can't make that distinction, because I'm looking at Jeremiah 31:36, where the Lord says, "If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a," quote, doesn't say a people, "a nation before me forever." So God's promise includes blessings to a people, to the whole world, but also his promise regarding a land and a nation.
Exactly. And this is something that we have to understand is clearly God's plan. And I want to say this, Larry, that I don't believe that God loves the Jew more than the Arab. He doesn't love the Israeli more than the Palestinian. But God in his sovereignty has clearly decreed that he would preserve the Jewish people as a nation as long as the sun shines by day and the moon and stars shine by night. They declare that God's decree is true and valid. Also, he promises an everlasting possession to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in a land that is today known as Israel, and it was actually a larger piece of land than the Jewish people possess today, but it's an eternal possession, and God promised that the day would come when he would regather the outcasts of Israel, Isaiah 11:11. It's found throughout Scripture, and he is fulfilling his word. So to not align with that is just to ignore the clear promises of God in Scripture that are being fulfilled.
I know the Holocaust was so horrible, it's beyond imagination, and the fact that there are some who are using the caravan, they're claiming the suffering of the caravan members are, you know, equivalent to the Holocaust. There is absolutely no comparison. I mean, if you look, and I certainly don't hate the people on the caravan, but they've got cell phones, they're very well fed, many of them are. They've got, the left wingers who are really supplying them with porta pots all along the way. People need to realize, you know, where those things come from. And I've often wondered, you know, how are they charging their cell phones? As a matter of fact, many of them have cell phones. Many of them have cameras with big lenses. And certainly the Holocaust individuals did not experience anything like that. I mean, it's so horrible. But, you know, I was thinking, Jonathan, even though the Holocaust was so horrible, it proved one thing. God was faithful to his promise to preserve his people. Now, I know 6 million or more died, but even all the might, the power, the rage, the craziness of the Third Reich could not destroy God's promise.
Because God's word is true, and every man a liar. And Larry, let me also point out that out of the ashes of the Holocaust came a restored state of Israel, which I believe the enemy was trying to thwart. I also want to say that to in any way draw a parallel between the Holocaust and the caravan is absurd and shameful. It's astounding to me that that attack would be leveled or that the Holocaust would be in any way mentioned. It's just absurd and shameful, as I said.
Well, friends, we'll be right back with Jonathan Burness. His new book, A Lasting Peace, is one of the most comprehensive studies of the Middle East in general, with a focus on Israel and God's plan for Israel and that part of the world that I've ever seen. Jonathan Burness seeks to be fair. In fact, he has a section entitled Palestinians Are Victims Too. Jonathan, I love that section. It's beautiful. And the author also makes the statement that he does not agree with everything Israel does. Quote, Israelis have made plenty of mistakes over the years. Close quotes. But then, of course, he puts the whole thing in perspective. And the book is well documented, very insightful. Jonathan Burness tells of a dialogue between Benjamin Netanyahu and Jiang Zemin, president of China in 1999. And Mr. Netanyahu said, quote, the Chinese kept China, the Indians kept India, but we Jews have lost our land and were dispersed to the four corners of the earth. This is why for the last 2,000 years we've been trying to retrieve our homeland and recreate our independent state there. Close quote. So I think you will love A Lasting Peace. It's full of information. It's written with a compassion for all people. Jonathan Burness is a Messianic rabbi. He served in St. Petersburg, Russia. Maybe we'll talk about that in a bit. But our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Call our call center and ask for the book, A Lasting Peace. And this will be something that you'll want to keep in your library. You'll want to read it, maybe lend it out to a friend, get a couple of copies. It is a classic. Jonathan, let's talk a little bit before we get into some other things. What has been the cause of Israel's dispersions, and why has Israel been invaded and overrun by so many groups? You know, I've been reading Leviticus 26, and I'm sure you're aware of that passage, but how does all of that fit in with the dispersions that we see that the Jewish people have suffered and endured?
Yeah, that's a great question. Sadly, the Jewish people have not been the most faithful in their commitment to walk with the Lord and observe his ways. That's just a reality of our history, that as a Jewish believer, I face literally every day. We were given a choice as a people, either follow God's commandments, serve him wholeheartedly as a people, and receive blessings and fruitfulness in the land, or disobey God, and we would be scattered to the nations of the world. And history has borne out the truth of that, of those choices. We did not follow God wholeheartedly as a people, and we went through numerous dispersions, 70 years in captivity in Babylon, after the Assyrian captivity of the north brought 10 of the tribes into captivity, never to be seen again, although I believe there's a restoration going on of the lost 10 tribes as well, which we could talk about at some point. But in the midst of those dispersions, again in 70 AD, and then the wandering of the Jewish people throughout the nations for almost 2,000 years, comes the promise of, I will not leave you in dispersion. I will bring you back to your land. In that day, which I believe is speaking of the last days, Pastor Larry, the Lord said, I will bring you back. I will be faithful to you, and I will bring you back to your land. And we're watching that. We're actually witnesses of Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes, beginning in the 19th century, when Jews started to return to rebuild the land that is today Israel, the restoration of Israel in 1948, the restoration of Jerusalem in 1967, and continual restorations of Jewish people from different nations of the world, like the restoration of the Russian-speaking Jews from the north, prophesied in Jeremiah 16, verses 14 through 16, that a day would come when we would no longer remember the God who brought us out of Egypt, but out of the north country. If you look, it's not talking about North America. It's not talking about any other country other than north of Israel. If you draw a straight line north of Israel, you have Russia. And we've seen over a million Russian-speaking Jews being restored to Israel in the last 30 years. It's a miracle.
Well, speaking about Russia, I know that Russia has a special place in your heart. You minister to the Jewish people in St. Petersburg. However, Russia does have a history of anti-Semitism. President Putin keeps on making excuses, it seems to me, for the atrocities committed by the Assad regime and for the gassing of multiplied hundreds of civilians. You write that Russia has plans for the Middle East. What are they? And how does Israel fit into Russia's plans for the Middle East?
That's a great question. It's a hard question. I lived in Russia, actually, for 3 years, from 1994 to 1997, and saw tremendous, tremendous fruit as Jewish people responded to the gospel in music festivals that we conducted all across the former Soviet Union. It was a miraculous time. But those doors eventually closed, Larry, and I've seen Russia, after the Iron Curtain fell and there was tremendous openness to the gospel, close up, I've seen an aggressive attitude growing towards Israel, a support of Syria that has been really diabolical, and I think Russia has designs to eventually be part of an attempted invasion against Israel. We know in the end they fail. I don't know the details of that, those that have a far better grasp of that than I do, but I see Russia taking a more aggressive role with Israel in an effort to be a major player in the Middle East. And it's very possible that Israel will discover oil reserves under their land. That has not happened yet. They've been drilling for oil. But Russia clearly has designs on control in the Middle East, along with their partnership with Syria and Iran. And I think it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous for the balance of world power. Ultimately, Larry, the center stage for the last days is not America, it's not Europe, it's Israel and the Middle East.
Well, speaking about the Middle East, you know, we certainly in the West were very hopeful that the Arab Spring was the beginning of something good. The protesters seem to be moderates hunting for a Western-style democracy. But it seems to have taken a turn in the wrong direction. What happened to the Arab Spring?
The Arab Spring became the Arab Winter, I'm afraid. And with every power vacuum comes a jihadist regime, a very fundamentalist Islamic regime that is committed to not only the destruction of Israel. And Benjamin Netanyahu has stated this many, many times. Israel is simply the little Satan. It's the United States that's the big Satan or the great Satan and standing in the way of Islamic domination, which is really at the heart of the fundamentalist Islamic leadership. And it's a minority now, but that minority is growing and it's very, very large.
Well, the hostility is amazing. I remember being at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, and one of the rooms speaks about when the Nazis were pulling back from Moscow. even though they were retreating. But as they retreated, they were actually killing Jews along the way. I mean, you would think, hey, I'm going to run back to Germany, to Berlin. But the hostility against the Jewish people was so strong that they were killing Jews as they retreated. And then, just as I've thought of modern history, you know, normally if there's a people in your country that you don't like, well, if they leave, you say goodbye and good riddance. But in the case with the Jewish people, that's not enough. There's going to be people who follow them out of the country and to wipe them out. And that, you know, that is so horrible, especially today. We have so many scenes of the Holocaust, and I really appreciate someone like yourself and, of course, our ministry just reminding the world of what's going on in the Middle East. So, Jonathan, we're just about out of time, but friends, Rabbi Jonathan Bernis will be back with us for our next broadcast. Be sure to tune in. Tell a friend about our ministry. You will learn all kinds of good things, truthful things that line up with the Word of God. You will understand God's plan for the world and God's plan for Israel. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get a lasting peace.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the new book titled A Lasting Peace. You can have your own copy for a gift of $20 in the United States and $33 for our Canadian friends. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can also write to us and place your order by writing to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this 230-page book on our website 24/7 at swrc.com. When you order this fantastic new book by TV host Jonathan Bernis, we will include at no additional charge the popular book by Stephen Kreloff titled God's Plan for Israel. That's two great books for the price of one. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items, paying radio stations, wages, utility bills, computers, and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching. Thanks for being with us today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.